join us, mighty God, once again, just thank you for this time and help us to glean more from thy word and the things you have shared with us, shared with me, and so we can learn more about you and your grace and how patient you are with us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The other day, I didn't capture the reference for this study in my notes. Can you tell me really quick so we can read it? Matthew 17:21. So I'm just going to read. You said Matthew 17? Okay. Matthew 17:24-27. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." So last Saturday night, I was doing homework, and then Sunday morning, I couldn't find my glasses. So it's been a week and I should get my glasses from the store this coming Friday. But one of the things when I prepared for this study was, this was one of those miracles that I didn't pay much attention about personally. So when I read this, it was very interesting in the sense that it's a small passage with literally four verses, and it just talks about the taxes. So in Act 1, in Capernaum, in verse 24, the taxpayers say to him in the temple, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And Peter responds, "Yes." And then the next part of it is, and then after Peter says yes, then he came into the house, and Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers?" From strangers. So this one, it's very interesting. Even in the first part, when the temple tax, or the people who collect taxes, ask Peter, he says yes. He wasn't sure, but he said yes. And this is a foreshadowing of Peter himself, who doesn't like conflict. He could have said, "Let me check on it," but he said yes, because he didn't want to deal with them. But then when he came home in the house, he double-checked with Jesus Christ on who should we pay taxes, right? And Christ knew that. So it was very interesting. I thought it was a point that I wanted to make, was this is something that Peter, when in a time of crisis or time of pressure, he gives in. Even though he wasn't sure, he said yes. And we see this with Peter when he denies Christ three times. So in many ways, I see myself as that when we do our put in point, and we have to answer questions, and we have to take a stand. Sometimes we don't do that because we just can't deal with the pressure. And then, So the context of this, it's a very interesting one. It's the whole concept of taxes. So in Matthew 7, 1 to 13, we see that Jesus was transfigured, his face was shown, his clothes shone like light, and his father talked. And then as it continues, it's the harsh reality, right? It talks about taxes. In many ways, it's relatable to what we do as humans as well, especially in this country, where we get a bonus at work or we get certain things, but the IRS is always there checking, saying, "Did you pay your taxes?" And that could be in many ways. People are turned off by the whole concept of taxes and IRS because they're like, "Why are they taking the money I earned?" So one of the stories, I haven't heard this, seen it in person, but when I heard at Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, if you win a big prize, you're all excited, but at the door, there's an IRS agent saying, "You need to fill out your taxes." So because it is what it is, they want to be able to get taxes off all your awards and rewards. And so the bonus money is, I think it's 40% or 35-40% of what you make goes to IRS compared to capital gains or, the stocks and stuff, which is only 15%. And this has made a big difference in people who, how do you avoid taxes and how do you get around it? A lot of people don't like paying taxes and they think it's unfair that they're being put in a system where they are asked to pay taxes. There's a person, Eduardo Saverin. He's the co-founder of Facebook. He was worth around $10 billion in 2017. And I put this person in because when I first heard about it, I thought it was very interesting. He gave up his U.S. citizenship and he became a resident of Singapore. And the primary reason was he didn't want to pay taxes to the IRS. And people go extreme. They take a lot of effort not to pay taxes because they feel like they have been, the system is not right because what they've earned, they need to keep all of it. But unlike in this country where we just pay for taxes for the income we earn or any wealth we accumulate, we pay taxes on it. But in Exodus 30, from verses 11 to 16, let's turn to Exodus 30. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, and every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord, when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. That is what everyone among you who are numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary." A shekel is 20 gerahs. "The half a shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourself. And you shall give an atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the meeting, and that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourself." So here, according to the law, if you're 20 plus male, if you're 20 years or older male, you pay half a shekel as an yearly tax. And in Numbers, we also say that if you're over 20, then you also should serve in the military. That was the law. So the context of it is, when Peter was at the temple, these people who collect taxes were asking Peter if their teacher was paying taxes. And this money goes to fund the tabernacle in the Exodus, but I'm assuming it went to fund the temple during Jesus' time. So we don't have to deal with that. So in this country, when we're 20 plus over, we don't have to pay a tax, a half a shekel yearly tax. Because if we did, a lot of people would be complaining about that as well. But what we do is if you're a male over 18 years old, and if you if you're a green card holder or a U.S. citizen, you have to sign up for the Selective Service and you got to fill out a draft card. So those are some things that are unique about this country. I remember when I became when I got my green card in when I was 20, the first thing I got was that Selective Service card and I filled it out. And so that's important to understand. The reason the study says why it highlighted the tax piece, it wanted to provide context on why these tax collectors were asking Peter for the money. It's not just they felt like Jesus was not paying his taxes, or it was to highlight that every person in a Jewish person had to pay a half a shekel tax, and these individuals wanted to know if Jesus paid tax. So then the study calls it the levy. And then the next part is the Lord stands. Where does the Lord stand? So the Lord knows everything, right? He knows everything before, what happens in the future, what happened in the past, pretty much knows anything. That's what he's an omnipotent God. So in the scene, we see the tax collectors ask Peter if Jesus paid his taxes. And it's pretty black and white. Either you pay taxes or you don't pay taxes. There's no loopholes. They're just straightforward. It's did you pay your taxes or not? Peter said yes, but he wasn't sure. And the other thing that was unique is the tax collectors, they asked a fisherman. They didn't ask anyone. They didn't ask Matthew, but they asked a fisherman. So I thought that was kind of unique. And we see that Peter doesn't like conflict, so he said yes. But then he double checks with the Lord. But the unique thing about this whole passage was it's written in the book of Matthew where Matthew was a tax collector. So it made an impression on him about this specific unique thing, and he wrote about it. And it also shows you with the way Christ responds that Jesus knows the law. The question he asked Peter, and he understands the nuances of it, because if he says, you know, in verse 26 and 27, he says, "Then the sons are free, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you open its mouth, you'll see a piece of money, take that and give it to them for me and you." And, you know, before that he says, who pays the taxes, from their sons or from strangers? And so he understands the nuances of the tax laws and the taxes and how we need to do. And he also, and the Lord also is gracious enough where he, every moment we see doing these miracles, we see there's a moment of teaching and there's a moment of for his disciples to think through what he's trying to do here. The Lord knows, owns everything. He doesn't need to pay taxes because he's the Son of God. He could have just given the money, saying, "Here, Peter, take the money, go to them and tell them about it." Or he could have said, "Peter, the tax collectors are going to ask you tomorrow, so why don't you give them some money? Here's the money, and you go pay to them." He doesn't do that. He uses that to, the story is there, he knows everything, but he also shows that he controls everything around him. But he uses that a way to teach Peter, but more importantly, he uses this story to teach us as Christians on what we need to do. In many ways, we are put in situations where we need to make decisions. Are we a Christian or not? Are we doing the right thing? What would Christ do? And so the unique thing about this is the way God shows Peter the money, right? And that's what really caught me. He goes, "Go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up." The ability for Christ to do that with Peter, who's a fisherman, I thought was very unique. He put him in an area where he understood the business. It wasn't like he said, "Okay, Matthew, you go to the sea, you cast a hook, you get a fish, and the first one that comes up, the piece of money will be in its mouth." I believe he showed it to Peter because he was trying to teach a lesson to Peter that he's in control of everything, and he was putting in an environment where Peter would really appreciate the randomness of the act that he was in control of. The first fish that comes up, he finds a piece of money. And so that to me is very unique. But the whole story, what's not told in the whole story, is something that we have to think through. If Peter heard that and he said, okay, God, I don't have time for this, I want to do something, would it really be a miracle at that point? Because at that point, it would be an act of disobedience. But Peter obeyed, and that's why it's a miracle. But the scriptures doesn't say that, because otherwise I don't think it would be a miracle, because he wouldn't have done it. But I think it made an impression on Matthew that he wrote that, because Peter actually obeyed. So what does that tell all of us as Christians and people here, right? Peter listened to Christ when Christ told him to do anything. He did not say, I don't have time for this. What are we going to do? And in many ways, we as Christians have to listen to God, what he tells us. Because anything we do, if it's God's will, he could make what we're doing a miracle for that person. Maybe we're reaching out the gospel. Maybe we're doing something impactful, but we don't know about it. But what we do know is Christ is working through us, and souls are being saved. So we have to be extra diligent in listening to him and obeying him, because it is in many ways being a transformational act that God is doing through us for the world. So the question is, and the other, I want to go in back in here saying, this is also a story about the Jewish people. The Jewish people, after the law was given, if you're 20 plus male, you're expected to give a tax. There is no ifs, buts. You were born as a Jewish person, you're expected to give a tax. The question is, why me, Lord? Why do I do it? Nope, it's accepted. You are a Jewish man, 20 plus years old, you're going to pay your yearly tax. So there's no negotiation. We are like that same way. We are born in sin. Why am I born in sin? Well, Adam sinned. Is there a way to negotiate that? No, there isn't any way to negotiate. You cannot negotiate if you're born a sinner or not. And this is the same thing as the Jewish people. They have to pay a tax. We are born as sinners. And the question is, but it also shows, right? Then the story also reveals is that if we listen to Christ, miracles do happen. So with Peter, the thing about Peter is he is very reactionary. We've seen this in the scriptures. But what separates Peter from others is that he obeys Christ when he needs to. And he always does that. And Lord uses that, even though he's a very impulsive person, he's not a perfect person. He uses that to use him not as a person to... In the scriptures, the disciples are agents of transformation, and how they take individuals, how they spread the word of God, and how they are, I would say, combating sin by simply obeying what the Lord asked them to do. So the part that really makes me, the thing that really blew me out of the mind was that Peter actually obeyed him when he gave this miracle. And how many times would we have obeyed our Savior, something that I would say in the left field, to do something just to make a point? Because if Peter didn't obey it, would it have been a miracle? It would have been Peter's disobedience. And so what we as Christians need to be aware of, that anything God asks us to do, and we have to be clear about what he wants us to do, he's using that as a way of transforming the world through us. But if we don't obey him, we are disobeying him, because he can use someone else to do the same thing. So in many ways, we have to discern for what the Lord is saying, but at the same time, we also have to be willing to be a participant in the ongoing miracles rather than simply being disobedient. So we have 6 minutes. Any brother have a comment? For the mic. Thank you. Any other comments? Go ahead, George. The thing that amazes me is that Peter did it, Peter obeyed, but Matthew was listening to record it. So there are many times in our life when people are watching us, the way we obey and the way we do things is what's making impact as well. So. Eric, go ahead. Yeah, the other thing, as you were saying, the other thing that came to my mind is the scriptures, the miracles we've studied, this one seems to be very, like, in control, but it's a fish with money in its mouth compared to raising people from the dead. You know, you see the range of miracles Christ does as well. So it's not just the types of miracles, but they're ranging from all, and it just shows you the power Savior and how he's using those moments to teach us. So, thank you.